The Grand Canyon is among the world's most amazing natural wonders, 277 miles long, up to 18 miles wide, and a mile deep. And 100 years ago this year, it became a national park, one of the most visited, with more than 6 million people visiting last year. All this week, we're going to be looking at the Grand Canyon National Park to mark its centennial, starting today with the geology, how this place was created by geologic events more than a billion years ago. Joining us now is Wayne Ranney, who's a geologist and author of Carving Grand Canyon, Evidence, Theories, and Mystery. Wayne, welcome.
Thank you very much, Jeremy. It's nice to be with you today.
And how can it be that this icon of America and the world, the Grand Canyon, which has been a national park for 100 years, still has so much mystery to it?
Well, the Grand Canyon is a large place, as I'm sure you can imagine. When people go to the South Rim or the North Rim where the hotels are located, and they look out, they're seeing only about one-tenth of the length of the Grand Canyon. So I would say that the main reason that it can't be completely understood is because of its immense size.
Mm-hmm.
But also, the Colorado River is constantly tearing away at the walls of the canyon and removing the evidence for its earliest history.
Okay, and the Colorado River is obviously a big part of why the Grand Canyon is the way that it is, but it's not where it all started. So take us back a couple of billion years ago and tell us how the layers of the canyon formed.
Well, the oldest rocks in the bottom of the Grand Canyon are almost 2 billion years old, and there's a pretty good record of sedimentation that follows after that. And if you count up the different layers of limestone, there's probably been 8 to 10 different seas that have inundated the Grand Canyon region over those 2 billion years. And there's a huge stack of sedimentary rocks that are brightly colored, gently uplifted, and then incised by this large river. And it just proves to be one of the best places on Earth to take in a sweeping view for the long span of geologic history.
So all of the Grand Canyon was underwater many times, is what you're saying.
That's correct. Sometimes people will say, I heard it, the ocean was here once, and I have to correct them slightly and say, no, it's been here many times, and the different layers represent that.
And what gives the rock its red color now?
In a general sense, when we look at red rocks, we're typically looking at sediments that were deposited on land, and the iron in that sediment reacted with the oxygen in the atmosphere and gave it these brilliant hues of reds and purples and golds. And so the sea was here all those many times, but also there's a long span of history where we had terrestrial environments, things like sand dunes and river floodplains and tidal flats, and the fossils that are preserved in these layers can help us understand this long span of Earth history.
Now, the Grand Canyon is part of the Colorado Plateau, which was lifted up. The south rim of the canyon is about 7,000 feet above sea level. The north rim is even higher, about 8,000 feet. What do we know about how the uplift happened?
Well, the uplift that is responsible for the Grand Canyon happened within the last 70 million years. So we can talk about those old rocks on the scale of hundreds of millions of years, but the uplift is the last 70 million years. And this uplift was due to the fact that the western part of North America, its crust was being squeezed from the west. And when it was squeezed horizontally, the rock layers got thick vertically. Mm-hmm. And that's what lifted up the plateau.
And I assume that the lift happened so slowly over time that you would never have been able to see it occur. It just happened over the course of, what, millions of years?
That's correct. I mean, you could live 10 lifetimes. You might have felt half a dozen earthquakes, but you wouldn't have noticed that you were being uplifted. But when you look through those tens of millions of years, then we can greatly uplift the Colorado Plateau.
Okay, and then we have the Colorado River, which carved the canyon. Tell us, when did that happen and how did that happen?
So one of the current ideas is that the initial cutting of the Grand Canyon was not necessarily done by the river we see today, but some of the segments that later became connected and then became the Colorado River.
So how long has the river or whatever eventually became the Colorado River been carving the canyon?
Well, we can go back to that 70 million year mark. And in that time, areas to the southwest of the Grand Canyon were uplifted into a huge mountain range, much like the Andes Mountains today. and prior ancestors to the Colorado River actually flowed in the opposite direction it goes today. Those rivers went from the mountains southwest of the Grand Canyon, and they went out onto the surface of what is now the Colorado Plateau.
What about wind and weather over the millennia?
Well, I think the wind is a very good agent to transport broken material out of the canyon. It's probably not a very big factor when it comes to actually breaking the rock apart. But once the other causes of weathering take effect, then the wind can carry that material away. And it's probably true that a lot of the material off of the Colorado Plateau is sitting out in the Rocky Mountains and the Great Plains of North America through all these millions of years.
Now, I assume that with all of this geology in the Grand Canyon, that there are a lot of fossils that can tell us more about what happened.
Yeah, the fossils are a very good indicator of the past environments. And even though the fossils are hundreds of millions of years old, they still give a record for what was here. And in these layers of rock in the Grand Canyon, there's evidence for giant Sahara-like deserts. And in those particular rocks, these sandstones that are cross-bedded, you can see well-preserved reptile tracks. And they let us know that this area was once very arid. The layer directly below that shows fern fossils, and it can tell us that the area was humid and there were rivers running through it. I mean, it's just things are changing through time. And that's what makes the Grand Canyon so special, is that all of these things are preserved and protected. Scientists are still going in there and digging up secrets from the walls of the Grand Canyon.
So what is still unknown or what's still up for debate about the geology of the Grand Canyon?
Oh, I think one of the biggest things that's in debate is the period of time when the rivers went opposite that the Colorado River goes today. There's about a 16 or 20 million year period where we lose sight of what the rivers were doing. So there's a period of time that begins about 30 million years ago, and then we finally get to see the river again somewhere between 6 and 16 million years ago, and it's going in the other direction. That's one of the things. There's three periods of uplift in the last 70 million years, and geologists are trying to figure out the relative importance or amount of uplift for each of those three periods. And one of the most exciting things that's happened recently is that it looks like the upwelling of hot mantle material in the Western Grand Canyon is what has carved or helped to carve and deepen the western part of the Grand Canyon. And there's some lava flows that have poured over the rim of the canyon and are spectacularly preserved and plastered on the walls out there in the Western Grand Canyon.
So as a geologist, is there any place on Earth that's more interesting to you than the Grand Canyon?
Well, Jeremy, I've been fortunate enough to travel to 90 countries studying geology, and I keep looking for a place that approximates the Colorado Plateau. And I guess I'm happy to say that there is no place. The Colorado Plateau is very unique. But a couple of places that come to mind are Northwest Argentina on the east side of the Andes. Some of the eastern parts of Morocco next to the Atlas Mountains also have similar characteristics to the Colorado Plateau. But here, the Colorado Plateau, 130,000 square miles, there's really no place on Earth that even approximates what we have right here in the southwestern part of the United States.
Do you think that in 70 million years, if the Earth is still around, that the Grand Canyon will be significantly different than it is today?
Without a doubt. I mean, if we went back 70 million years ago, the Grand Canyon region had just been exposed from under an inland sea. It was very close to sea level. The weather was completely tropical at that time. You'd have no idea that a future Grand Canyon was going to form there.
Do you think of the Grand Canyon as an American thing or
Absolutely. Just
a world thing?
Absolutely. Well, it's an American thing. I think if there were one landscape that people associate with America, it would be the Grand Canyon. But 40% of the visitors here come from other countries, and that percentage is increasing. And so on the one hand, it is strictly an American icon, but on the other hand, it's a world icon.
What's your favorite thing about it?
My favorite thing about it is how it's constantly changing with respect to the weather and the climate and the time of day and the time of year. It's such a big place. The temperature difference from the top to the bottom can be 30 or 35 degrees Fahrenheit. The temperature differences between winter and summer can be up to 70 or 100 degrees. If you had an imaginary highway along the Colorado River and you drove along that highway at 70 miles an hour, it would still take you 4 hours to drive through the Grand Canyon. So as the river trip or your trip down the river unfolds, you're constantly seeing new and different landscapes. Even though the rock layers remain the same, they are exposed beneath three different North American deserts in that whole trip.
That's Wayne Ranney, who is a geologist and author of the book Carving Grand Canyon, Evidence, Theories, and Mystery. Wayne, great to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Jeremy, and thank you for loving the Grand Canyon.
And we will continue our series tomorrow talking about the Havasupai tribe that's been living at the Grand Canyon for many centuries. That's tomorrow on Here and Now.